God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis of the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Church over here on the west side of Manchester, and we want to greet each and every one of you today in the name of the Lord. We come to you in this broadcast every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30, and we're so delighted that you can tune in with us today on this Walking in the Light radio broadcast. Today we're going to be dealing with a subject that is much talked about amongst churches, and the need for revival. Revival. What is revival? What takes place when revival comes? We've seen and heard of great revivals of days gone by, and there is a pattern that we can see throughout the generations that experienced revival. And we have with us today Brother Rick DeRocher from the Deliverance Bible Institute up in Portland, Maine. And we are delighted to have him with us today talking on this very important subject. If there's ever been a day and a time period in which we as a nation here in America need to see a revival amongst the churches, it is the day that we are living. And it is desperately needed. But there are going to have to be some things that take place before revival will come. And we want to get into that today with Brother Rick DeRocher. We want to have him come into this, in this discussion on the subject of revival. Brother Rick.
Revival comes by prayer. The prophet Habakkuk prayed, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of years. True revival comes only by prayer. There have been great moves of God throughout the history of the church, but they've all come by one thing, by prayer, by consecration, by dedication, by separation from the world, but mostly by prayer.
We thank Brother Rick DeRocher for being with us today. And I want to read a couple verses of scripture, maybe three verses of scripture, out of the book of Psalms. Psalm 85 in verse 4, 5, and 6. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thy anger towards us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thy anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Revival. Brother Rick, we know that revival is needed. It is the heart cry of any man of God that I believe that is sincerely wanting to see God do something in the lives of his people and for this nation. What is revival, Brother Rick? Many today think that revival may be something as simply as someone's blinded eyes getting opened or somebody getting healed in a church service, and we all love to see those miracles. But what is revival, and what is it going to take for us to see revival come to pass back in our churches?
True revival involves a spiritual awakening. It is an awakening from spiritual slumber. Some think that fast music or fast songs or jumping around and a lot of emotion is revival. We speak of revival as an awakening, as a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost to touch the lives of men and women, to bring conviction of sin, and to bring the church alive, to awaken the church that's sleeping from slumber. Ephesians 5:14 says, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. The great revivals of days gone by have been called awakenings. The first great awakening, the second great awakening. It's an awakening of the church to the things of God, to awaken out of slumber and a restoration of the power of God to the church once again.
We desperately need that. We need to see in this last day hour. The Bible says that there's going to be a great harvest of souls, but there must be a people in the land. Jesus said that the laborers are few, and I believe that revival is going to come with a price. We know that we can see the patterns of days gone by, of the Azusa Street Revival out in Los Angeles, California, where a group of people began to come together and earnestly cry out to God. They were earnestly seeking God with all of their heart and having a hunger and thirst for righteousness. And we know the scripture declares that blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, and they shall be filled. God is faithful to keep his end of the promise if we will do our part, which is to earnestly seek him and hunger and thirst after righteousness. And I want to ask you, Brother Rick, in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2, he says here, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. There must be a work that takes place in this last day hour. But first, before we as God's people, Brother Rick, can do a work to see revival come to pass, there must be a work that takes place inside of us, inside of the hearts of men and women. Let's talk for a moment about what takes place in the hearts of people when true revival comes to the heart of a man or a woman.
Revival is an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. The first great outpouring happened in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. There came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And Peter stood up that day and preached, empowered by the Holy Ghost, and 3,000 souls were saved. We could call that the first great revival or the first great outpouring. And the Bible likens the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, that the Bible says that God will send the rain. So God determines the seasons of outpouring, the awakenings of the Holy Ghost. The Bible also tells us that we are to pray for the rain in the season of the latter rain. So our part, first of all, is to pray. And we can see from Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost that they were all in one place and they were in one accord. God requires unity, that we come together in one mind, in one spirit, in one faith to see God move. Without unity, there cannot be a moving of the Holy Ghost.
Amen, brother. And we also know in the book of Acts where they were in one mind and one accord, and you go over into chapter 3 of the book of Acts where Peter began to preach and he spoke these famous words out of verse 19. And I believe this is key in the first part of this verse of scripture. He says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. There was something that they had to do. Anybody has to do. Obviously, to be saved, you got to repent and turn from your sins. But Brother Rick, would you have to say that the first great work that needs to take place in the hearts of, first of all, the leadership, the pastors, people that are in places of authority within the body of Christ, they must have a thorough examination of their hearts, and we must see people convicted of their sins and they need to repent. Brother Rick, let's spend a moment and talk about repentance. This is a lost word within most of our churches today. In the day and the hour we live, you know, Brother Rick, that most churches today don't want to mention anything that will offend anybody. They don't want to specifically preach against any sin or anything that's going on in the lives of people, lest they would offend somebody and they would leave the church. We've got this user-friendly gospel now, and we know that men of God are called to cry aloud, spare not, and lift up their voice like a trumpet. And the Bible says to show show my people their error, the error of their ways and their sins and their transgressions. So, brother, repentance. This is probably the number one necessary ingredient, if you will, to seeing revival come back to the church. Would you agree, brother?
Amen. Repentance is a requirement for God to move. Repentance is a requirement for salvation. To be washed in the blood, we're saved by grace. But repent means to turn, to change. When we're born again, we're made a new creature in Christ. There's a transformation. There's the new birth. The moving of the Spirit, the move of God, it's for the saint. It's for the Christian. Jesus stood and cried in John chapter 7, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." But this spake he of the Spirit. The first step to receiving those living waters is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to repent of our sins, to turn from the world, and let God do work in us that we can't do. We can't change ourselves. We can't convert ourselves. We can't save ourselves. It's a work of God, but we must yield to God, to yield to the potter, and let him do the work in us that we cannot do. But repentance is a choice that we must make to turn from the old nature, the old conversation, our old ways of doing things, and to turn to the cross, to turn to Christ, and to turn to God.
We thank God for his goodness today and allow us to come to you. This is Pastor N.R. Davis of the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. And if you're just tuning in, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30 with this Walking in the Light radio broadcast. We're dealing with the subject today, for those of you that are listening, on revival. What is revival? What takes place during a revival? Now, we're not just talking about a series of meetings where we bring in the evangelist and we have a few good church services and we sing some good songs, a few people accept Christ, maybe somebody gets healed or delivered. We're not just talking about that. Revival is much more than just some good church meetings. Revival will go outside of the church walls. It will begin to affect the community. It will begin to affect your whole neighborhood and within the city. It will begin to reach out into parts that we know that God is moving in the hearts of people. Now, Brother Rick, we know the Bible declares that no man can come to God unless the Spirit of God is drawing him. Now, we believe here at the Abiding Light that in this last day hour, we're going to see a move of God like this earth has never seen before. Now, we've just discussed how that repentance is definitely a requirement, not only for salvation, but if there's ever been a time that the church needed to turn away from their folly, turn away from their sin, and truly turn to God. That's what repentance means, is turning from sin and turning back to God. Now, Brother Rick, we know we live in this generation where many of the preachers of the gospel will not even preach against sin. And the problem that we have is the few men that are standing for truth, not enough of them, not enough men of God that are willing to stand behind the pulpits of America, stand behind the radio waves of America, and preach the gospel the way it needs to be preached. Now, what I want to ask you simply today, Brother Rick, is if there is going to be a revival, it must start behind the pulpits with the men of God, the pastors, the evangelists, the prophets of God. These men are the ones that must be the ones that show the people that not only do they need to repent, but they need revival in their lives. We are acting like today that everything's okay, everything's going to continue as it is. But if there ever is a time, Brother Rick, that we needed to see revival, it's now. And I believe it needs to start with leadership. Would you agree, brother?
Amen. God must do a work in the leaders of the church. God gave a fivefold ministry to the church for the edifying of the saints, for the building up of the body of Christ. But it's a sad day today that many that are in the pulpits are not sent of God. They're not building up the body of Christ. The church was birthed in power. And what we believe is founded on the Word of God. God promised in the Word of God that He will do a work in the last days. What we hold to is not just based on our emotions or our feelings. It's based on the Word of God, which is the final authority. We must hold to the Scripture and not to the words of man, not to the words of people. God's Word must be the final authority. And the Bible tells us, in the last day, saith God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. The church was birthed in power with the former rain that came. And God said that He would send the latter rain. And the latter rain came every year in due season, right before the final harvest. This pattern of rain is a type to show us the pattern of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And there's a harvest of souls yet to come in. And we need a demonstration of the Spirit of God to bring in one more harvest of souls, one more manifestation of God's power. Before this age comes to an end, there will be a demonstration of the Spirit of God. Not a work that can be done by a man, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.
Brother Rick, we thank God for the power of His Spirit. You just quoted it, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. I want to talk about now, just for a few moments, on the power of the Spirit of God. Now, we are not ashamed to say that we believe in the power of God here at the Abiding Light Church. We believe in the full gospel. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. Now, Brother Rick, I'm amazed at today's churches, how much they have going on with all of their activities, all that's going on within their theatrical and their music and all of their entertainment. And I call it entertainment simply because most of the big churches today have drawn most of their masses and most of the people in by a lot of tactics that will entertain people. They're bringing in a lot of talented people that sing good and sound good, play good music, but there is no true power of God's Spirit. Now, we know that no man can come to God unless the Spirit of God draws him, but, you know, Hollywood draws a lot of people in by appealing to the lust of their flesh, and it's a sad day that we live in that a lot of the churches are turning to entertainment, to entertain the masses, to fill up their church pews. But brother, we know that there's no power in the church, because when the Holy Ghost comes, Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then it goes on to talk about how you'll be witnesses. We believe in this baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I want you just to spend a few moments now, Brother Rick, and begin to share with this radio audience on the importance of people having a hunger and a thirst for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Now, some of you that are listening may say, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I got filled 20 years ago. But I ask you, my brother or sister, when was the last time you've been filled again? It's not enough just to get filled up with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance one time. We need to constantly stay full of the Holy Ghost and His power to be effective witnesses to this generation that we live in. So, Brother Rick, let's talk about the importance, the people of God being full and receiving that baptism of the Holy Ghost.
The baptism of the Holy Ghost is essential for ministry. The baptism of the Holy Ghost was so important that Jesus came to this world. He lived, He preached, He worked miracles, He went to the cross, He died, He paid the price for our salvation, He ascended up on high and left the job of preaching the gospel to the hands of man. And He told those disciples to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high, because Jesus knew that those men could not get the job done without the power of the Holy Ghost. Paul the Apostle was a great man, an educated man, but yet he said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of God and with power." And we believe the same power that worked in Paul, the same power that worked in Jesus, the same Holy Ghost, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Jesus from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. We need the power of the Holy Ghost to minister. The Son of God was anointed by the Holy Ghost. How much more do we need the power of the Holy Ghost to touch the lives of men and women, to set the captives free, to break the bondages of hell? We can't set men free, but the anointing will break every yoke by the power of the Holy Ghost. And we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible commands us to be filled with the Spirit. We must obey that word of God. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Rick. And as we begin to close out this broadcast, we want to end on this note. The disciples were headed up into that temple, and they seen that man there, and he was asking for money. We know asking for alms. And the Bible says that he says, "Silver and gold have I none." Peter said, "But such as I have, I give unto thee. Rise up and walk." He said, "Such as I have." And that is the key right there, Brother Rick. We must have something if we're going to be able to offer something. Most churches have no power to see people get delivered from the powers of sin, the powers of addiction, the powers of the lust of the flesh, the powers of the devil that have strongholds in people's lives. And we know that power comes from the Holy Ghost with men of God like Peter, James, and John, and most of all, our Lord Jesus Christ, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So as we close this, Brother Rick, I want to close out this broadcast on revival and what is it. And we weren't able to really cover what we wanted to, but we'll get into more of what revival is and the effects of true revival. But what we want to see is a move of God's Spirit come back to the churches. And for that to take place, Brother Rick, we know if men's lives are going to be set free, it's got to come by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'll give you your last closing statement, brother, to encourage those that are listening to have a hunger and a thirst for more of the power of God and the Holy Spirit in their life.
You mentioned entertainment in the churches today, and that's because many churches have lost the true power of the Holy Ghost. Entertainment and emotion and excitement to substitute the power of God. Our prayer is, bring us back to old time Pentecost. We're preaching the full gospel of Jesus Christ. We believe in a holy Bible for a holy people, a holy God called out, and the Holy Spirit still moving today in the lives of people. God is not dead. He is alive. He's not the great I was. He's still the great I am. He's still healing bodies, saving souls, and setting the captives free. And He uses men that are filled with the Holy Ghost to do His work and His bidding. We need a genuine move of God, not a work of man, but a move of God. And that will only come as we pray and seek God and obey His word.
Thank you, Brother DeRosha, for being with us today on this Walking in the Light radio broadcast. And brothers and sisters, if there's ever been a time we needed to see revival, it is the time that we are living. I hope and pray that the preachers in our communities will begin to cry aloud against sin, call for a fast and a solemn assembly to begin to cry out to God that we need to see an outpouring of His Spirit. And when that takes place, there'll be deliverance, there'll be healing, there'll be lives set free by the power of God's Spirit. And that will be the awakening in the souls of men and women that we need. If you want to contact us, you can go to our website, at abidinglightchurch.com. That is abidinglightchurch.com. We also got a Facebook page. You can go on that and like it. It's abidinglightpentecostalchurch.com. So once again, we want to invite you to be back with us again next Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30 for the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. And until next Saturday, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.
When man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.